It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Issues 2024. I'm Steve McIntosh, and our guest is Jamie Nix, Wichita Director of Libraries. Welcome to Issues 2024, Jamie.
Thanks so much for having
nice
us.
Nice to have you with us today. Now, you became Director of Libraries, I believe, in October of 2021.
Correct.
Is that correct?
It is, yes.
Did you see any fallout at that point from COVID pandemic when you started the job?
Well, I think we were on the other side of COVID, so our services were definitely in a recovery zone. I think we had full access to library, but a lot of modifications. I know that the system stood up curbside service, which is still actually going on, and we're making adjustments and all the things that we learned about serving the public and public spaces during the pandemic. It really took us down to nothing. We didn't know if we could circulate books and how the disease was spread. And so we followed along with research and science as everyone was discovering, and then really had to reimagine and reposition our services.
Well, you were kind of got lucky, though, your timing there. At least you weren't here when the full thing was gone.
Well, I was in Washington State doing the same thing at a library system twice as large. So I will say that a lot of the best practices were in place here, and it was really great to be able to come in with strong leadership who really had a good understanding of what we needed to do to stay in public service and keep people reading.
Let's talk a little bit about your background. Where are you from?
I grew up in Emporia, Kansas, just up the street. Graduated from the high school there, started working in public libraries when I was in high school, and then also worked at the university library when I started college. So I got academic and public library experience as a youth and really found my my passions in the public library space.
What was that in, where did you go to university then?
At Emporia State. And then I transferred mid-degree to Wichita State and started working here at the Wichita Public Library System.
So your career path is taking you, well, right around Kansas then. How did you wind up in Washington?
Right. I was at a point in my life where I wanted to really discover a little bit more about my leadership and knew I needed to do that in a different community. And so took a look at what was out and about at the time. My kids were at a great age to be able to transport them. We'll say Washington was a bit far away from home. But it was a great opportunity to experience a different library system, different culture, figure out who I am as a leader. And I was so fortunate to have the opportunity to come back and to also be placed in this role.
One of the things I like to do in this program is try to get my arms around the size of your duties and authority. So I ask you a few numbers, okay?
Sure.
So here's an easy one. How many library branches in Wichita?
We have seven.
Seven?
We have seven. Yeah, we have our Advanced Learning Library, which is our largest downtown. We have Westlink, which is doubling in size right now. It's under construction in West Wichita. Our Rockwell branch is in District 1, East Wichita. It will be going through remodels as well this year. We have our Angelo branch on 21st and Hillside, our Walters branch over by Clapp Park, and then Alford is at 31st and South Meridian.
Yeah. All right. That's good. Now, I can share with you a memory
Evergreen.
Of when
forget
I was
Evergreen. Can't forget Evergreen.
Evergreen. When I was 5 or 6 years, maybe 6 years old, the library branch that I went to was at the George Washington Boulevard, the old George Washington Boulevard. The theater was there, and they had like a little strip center on the side. And so, that was where I first checked out a library book.
I love that, only because I've never been there. But we used to have pockets inside the books with the cards and the due date cards.
Yeah.
And so when I started working at Wichita, I saw that we had a Boulevard branch. And I was like, what did that look like at the time?
Yeah. Boulevard branch.
Yeah.
How many, and just a little bit more personal. And then as I grew up, we moved. Mm-hmm. And we lived in Kingman for 3.5 years. And I don't know if you've ever been there, but right on 54 on the Main Street, it's called a Carnegie.
Right.
And I was going to ask you about that. What was the Carnegie thing?
So Andrew Carnegie believed in education and education for everybody. And so part of his legacy of wealth was to provide communities with funding for the buildings to be able to provide library service. Yeah. And so we have one here in Wichita, which was the original library building on Main Street.
Oh, that's the, yeah.
And then we moved across the street to 223 South Main, and right. then we're now at the Advanced Learning Library.
So how many employees do you have working in the library system then?
We've got 144 employees. About 60% of us are part-time. I've got 34 professional librarians on staff.
I think when my daughter was in school, she did volunteer mm-hmm. librarian work over at the branch over by North High School over there on Jeanette.
Yes.
When there was I don't think there's a branch there anymore.
No, that was Manisa.
Yeah, there you go, Manisa.
Do you remember that?
So how many? I know you have some figures on how many people use library services every year.
Yeah, I think Wichita's really grown in the last couple of years. When I started, about 54% of us had active library cards, which is pretty good in our library industry. And right now we're over 62% of us have library cards. So we're actively using. I think we were open over 17,000 hours last year, but our services extend 24/7. We've got collections online, resources online.
That figure of percentage of people using it with cards, that kind of surprises me.
It's impressive.
Yeah.
I think so that equates to 247,335 people have library cards.
Wow. You got the numbers. Mm-hmm. So how long has the new downtown library been open? And that's the one called the Advanced Learning Center?
Yeah, right? The Advanced Learning Library. We've been open for 6 years now.
6 years. Okay. Well, I thought the library downtown was the new one. They opened in, 67?
Correct.
With Century 2, but now they're going to do something. You know what they're going to do with that building? Has anybody said?
I think that there's some maintenance that needs to happen
and
a lot of community conversation about how to use the space.
Well, you know, that was one of the great things. They had a lot of other rooms and so forth, as facilities down there.
Mm-hmm.
So here you go. How and when did the public library system begin in the United States? Who was the first postmaster?
Oh my goodness.
Okay.
Oh my gosh, trivia.
It's not Ben Franklin.
I will say the very first library was the Carnegie Library in Pittsburgh.
Oh, okay.
Pennsylvania.
That's good enough for me. Yeah. Let's talk about the services offered by the city's libraries. In addition to, of course, you can check out a book, right? What other items can be checked out?
Well, we're definitely more than books these days. So you can check out the internet. You can get mobile hotspots to take and have access to the internet at home or anywhere. You can check out magnifying glasses, microscopes, telescopes, anatomical models. We have a library of things collection. So to just be able to advance informal education in any way. I think we just added blood pressure kits, and we'll be adding
that's good.
Bird watching kits here pretty soon. So
wow.
We launched experience passes as well, so you have free access and admission to area attractions. I think the technology in our branches too is a resource for a lot of people. I think over 75,000 people used our public computers this last year, and over 125,000 Wi-Fi sessions. So people are coming in and using space. We have collaboration rooms, study rooms, meeting rooms, an AV studio. We have a maker space, so you can design and create things with 3D printing or a Cricut.
Wow.
Design.
What I'm curious is, do you loan any CDs or 8-track? Tapes, or anything like that?
We still have music CDs, no music cassettes, though. DVDs and Blu-rays, but no VHS tapes.
Any wax? Any old-fashioned records? No?
Oh, man, we used to.
They're
still popular. I
wonder where they are. You still have them?
We don't.
Ooh.
No. The collection went away decades ago.
It's probably worth about $50 million now.
Maybe so.
Oh, well. What about fees? Do you charge fees for the things you do?
You know, we are really fortunate to have support from City Council to remove a lot of barriers to library use. So a couple of years ago, we were able to eliminate overdue fines. That quarter a day for a dollar a day that things were late. And you told me you have a book that's overdue since the 50s.
56. Mm-hmm. No, I'm kidding. I don't.
But, yeah, at this point, there really isn't strong research that shows that charging fines incentivizes people to return their material on time. And a lot of times people and families weren't willing to take the financial risk to check out. So we've eliminated it. We expect that the materials get returned at some point, or we do charge the replacement cost of the item. But, I mean, really, it's cost recovery. So if you're printing, there's a fee. If you're faxing, there's a fee. We have passports that we will help you get your passport renewed or issued at our Evergreen and Alford branch, so you pay the passport fee that you typically would at a different institution.
What is involved in that? I've got two forms I got from the Postal Service. Shelley and I are going to – we have to renew our passports.
Yeah.
What's involved in all that?
So make an appointment at either Evergreen or Alford. The staff will let you know the information and the pieces of identification that you'll need to bring in. They'll guide you through the form, and then they'll take care of filing it for you with the –
I got to check that out.
Yeah.
There we go. You're listening to Issues 2024 on the Odyssey radio stations, and our guest is Jamie Nix, Wichita Director of Libraries. Does anybody ever say to you, you know, I've got the internet, why do I need a library?
That's a lot
you
of
hear
what
that?
We hear. We hear it a lot, yeah.
Okay, so?
So the internet has a lot of information, and we love the internet,
sure.
But the internet has a lot of misinformation as well. The world of information is overwhelming, and I think your library is your resource for helping you discern and determine and research and fact check and actually find credible information resources. I think even more important these days, the public library, it's an active community space. I think especially from the pandemic when we were experiencing a lot of isolation, we see now the real criticality of having a safe space that's free. You can just explore any opportunity, use your imagination, and all the possibilities are available to you just by coming to the library.
And from time to time, you have to ask someone to leave?
We have policies related to code of conduct, and we want to make sure that the space is welcoming, inclusive, and safe for everybody. So there are times when people misbehave, and we ask them to leave.
I'm just curious if this sounds crude, but somebody bringing their shopping cart with all their world belongings in there and just kind of homesteading the place.
Yeah.
That's not going to happen, though, is it?
No, I think within our policies, we make sure that everybody keeps their belongings to themselves. Something like a shopping cart in our spaces will likely disrupt the flow of people moving through the building. That's a lot of stuff. So we do ask that people move through.
What about, let's assess, if you will, just kind of generally speaking, the impact that the computer has had on what you do. I mean, certainly it's changed the way you do things, I'm sure.
Absolutely.
Is there still a Dewey Decimal System?
Sure is. It's active.
And I still don't understand it.
We had to rely on our Dewey Decimal knowledge not too long ago. Our computer systems went down for about 6 weeks. Related to the city's cybersecurity incident. And I think we really brushed off some old technology skills. I think we've made a lot of advancements. So our books check out with RFID technology.
What's that?
Radio frequency tags instead of a barcode. And so I think while we've made a lot of advances to make sure that our workflows are as swift as possible, make sure that people can find things as easily as possible, we still have to rely on some old systems like the Dewey Decimal.
You talk about, we were talking about my experiences with the library system when I was a child. And I know it's very important that you have some, you focus on children on a lot of things you do. Can you tell us about the programs and services that are available to the little ones?
Yeah. We've got a really strong early learning program. So you could really look at our calendar of events and find anything for pre-readers, story times, toddler times, crafts. We have certified our advanced learning library as a family place library, which essentially means that we have dedicated parenting collection. We have strengthened our staff training in helping parents be their child's first and best teacher. We have parent educator workshops that are happening. A lot of low risk play and ways of coaching parents in the development of their kids' pre-language skills.
Sure. What about, do you get people coming in saying, You need to get rid of this book, that book, or whatever.
We do. I think that books have a lot of ideas.
How do you handle that, Jenny?
We handle that through our policies. We have a board policy that talks about what we collect, our how we spend our funds on collection, and how we represent all needs in our community. I think it's a really diverse collection. We have an urban and diverse community, and so not every book is for every reader. We encourage people who may find something misaligned with their values or that they disagree with or find to be not literature. We get that a lot too, that this is just candy and you shouldn't have this. The library should be for full education. We know that reading of any kind is enrichment. Information of any kind can be understood, and then individuals make their own choices.
Absolutely.
So just leave the book if you don't like it.
So it's supposed to work anyway.
Yeah.
Now, what about targeting seniors? Got anything for us older people?
We sure do. We have a number of programs like Senior Wednesday and Tuesday Topics. We have audiobooks that are really, you can download them on an app called Libby and check them out and listen to them while you're doing gardening. Lots of people use them on road trips. We've got technology classes too that are really quality.
Technology meaning
computers of all kinds, so software, hardware. If
really?
You've got a new device like a smartphone and you're not quite sure how to use certain functions, you can book a librarian appointment and get some one-on-one hands-on.
I'll be down there this afternoon.
Sounds terrific.
You can help me out with that. All I know is reboot. I took a look at the website. And it indicates quite a number of special programs that you're offering. Can you tell us about one or two big ones coming up in the late summer or fall, things you want to talk about as far as, you know, promoting activities at the library? I'm sure you got something going on down there.
We have a local author day that is coming up.
Okay.
We just put out a call for over 80. We had 80 spaces for authors to come and have a booth, present, sell their books, engage with readers. That's coming up at our Advanced Learning Library in September, the end of August. Sorry. I think that one's really an awesome way of supporting the creative minds in our community and all sorts of different genres, lots of great writers in our community. We'll have a DIY day, so featuring technology and making things of all kinds. That'll happen this fall. I think we're prepping right now for next year's Big Read, which is a community-wide reading program. Our author this next year is a Kansas writer, and we're really excited to explore her book, which is about being physically disabled and in a wheelchair in a predominantly inaccessible world.
One of the features we talked about just briefly a while ago, but the library, second to the oldest library downtown. Anyway, the facilities there, as I recall, if you went up a flight or two, there were some meeting rooms and things like that. Did we feature things like that at the new library?
Absolutely. We've got significant meeting space for large groups, small groups. If someone wanted to use our computers as well, we rent out our technology lab. We have an AV studio that you can use for free to be able to create your own and work with, I don't know, others and collaboration rooms as
Who
well.
Uses those? Like community groups or just small meetings?
Anybody.
A lot of
individual artists. We're seeing a lot of nonprofits using the AV studio for both office space, but then also being able to promote their resources and needs through different media. We have a foundation collection at the Advanced Learning Library. So a lot of small businesses and entrepreneurs come and foundations to look at what kind of funding is available.
Let me have you be philosophical for a minute. What is the importance of a strong library system to a community, any community?
It fully creates a strong community. I think the stronger the library system, the more generational education happens. Right now, our literacy rate is really struggling in Wichita. I think that means that our partnerships with schools can be stronger. That's why our library system is really focusing more on family engagement right now as a way of shoring up the capabilities and skills for our community. I think the access to a library system, it actually impacts crime. There's research that shows that the geographic proximity for where a library is located in a community diminishes the crime rate. And we know that after school activities, having a space just to hang out is critically important as well.
City's in the final budgeting process in the next couple of weeks. Any funding challenges for the library?
There are always challenges for the library. I think we represent about 3% of the city's budget overall. We do have some different funding streams and support through annual grants and programmatic grants. But our collection budget really for a city this size should be twice as big as what it is. And investing in collections means that we're investing in the reading success of our community. I think our footprint has been shrinking over a number of years. When I worked here before, we had 11 branches. Now we have 7. So we're a lean organization, but I think we make a really strong impact in people's life trajectory. We're really less about the inventory of books and more about human development these days.
Now, when you were a child, did you dream of becoming a librarian someday?
I kind of did.
Did you really?
I played library in my bedroom, and I was often at the library. It was a space where I really felt comfortable. The support that I got from the staff and the books, it showed me the world. Beyond Emporia, Kansas. So.
Plus, if you come from a big, crazy family like I did, it's just quiet place.
Exactly.
You can just be pretty much at peace. So when you were a youngster, what were your favorite books? You have one or two that...
Oh, my gosh. My absolute favorite picture book when I was a kid was Gregory the Terrible Eater.
Ooh.
I got to meet the illustrator when I was in elementary school, which was just incredible to be able to see creators at work. I think... Gosh, I read all the Babysitter's Club, Sweet Valley Twins. That was kind of like a big thing at the time. I think my world absolutely changed, though, when I found Toni Morrison, a librarian. I wanted to read a bit more about the outcomes of slavery and Black experience, and the librarian showed me The Bluest Eye.
All right.
And changed my life.
My philosophy... for reading is, and I, because most of my kids, I had them reading when they were 3. If you can learn to read and understand, you can almost teach yourself anything.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I see the value of reading.
Absolutely.
But, so what's ahead? Going to stay around for a while this time, or are you going to move off to
Washington? This is home. This is it,
huh?
This is it. The roots are here.
Okay. During the Wichita River Festival, did you have more people, less, fewer people?
Foot traffic goes up during that time frame, really? For sure. Yeah, and what was cool this year, we have a bookmobile, a book bus, that we were able to get into the Riverside Parade. That was so much fun.
Well, that's cool. All right. So the libraries, I would check it out. And again, are the hours about the same for all the branches then?
For 5 of the 7, we're open about 60 hours a week.
Okay.
And then 2 of our branches are smaller in scale. So the Angelo branch is open 30 hours a week, and our Walters branch is open 45.
Did you have any plans on trying to open more branches? Or?
Well, I think the conversation's always open. I think it's always a funding conversation. But also, if the demand is there and Wichitans want more libraries, that's a great problem to solve.
All right. Sounds like you've got a lot of facilities and helpful to the public, a lot of places where you can help out, and you're doing a good job, I think. Way to go, Jamie.
Thank you.
And your staff, of course. How many people are working for you?
We've got 144 staff across 7 locations. And I will say, right now, West Link is currently under construction.
Sure.
And then we'll be remodeling our Alford branch starting in November this year, and then next June we'll have a complete remodel at our Angelo branch.
Okay.
So every space is going to look great.
Thank you. Jamie Nix, our guest, Wichita Director of Libraries. That's all for this edition of Issues 2024. We'll be back next week. Thank you for listening. I'm Steve McIntosh.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.